turn with me over to Isaiah 37, 2 through 4. I want to speak to you a message entitled, God's Plan Is. God's plan is. Not man's plan, but what God's plan is. In Isaiah 37, 2 through 4, it says, He sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the sons of Amos. They said to him, Thus says Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For children have come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, lift up a prayer for the remnant that is left. I want you to pay very close attention to this one part. Very close. For children have come to birth, and there is no strength to give or to bring them forth. The children have come to birth, and there is no strength to bring them forth. There's a history here that you have to understand before I go further. Rabshakeh, sent by the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, boasts against the Lord. You find this in 2 Kings 18 and Isaiah 36, where he comes and says, Your God is not big enough or strong enough to tear down or defeat the gods of Assyria. Spoke it in one language, and then they said, We cannot understand you, speak it in Hebrew. And he spoke it in Hebrew. Your God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm bringing this story into that nutshell there that you'll understand that this is why they were at a place where they had no strength to bring forth the birthing. And for us, I want you to relate to this as the birthing of your promise. And that how the enemy comes into your life, into the lives of people in the church, into the lives of people in your neighborhood, at your employments, into your lives of the family members you have, that literally says, Your God is not strong enough to defeat the gods of this nation, the gods of this world. He's declaring this with great boldness when he says this. He's literally making reference to it in 2 Kings 18 with pride. You'll not be able to defeat us. Join with us. Don't believe Hezekiah. His God has no power. What kind of a mind would say that? A mind that is totally declaring that there is no God but the gods that they have created. Literally coming and declaring that. And we need today, more than ever, is a word of assurance that our God is the God of our salvation. Even though we know this, we know that He's there. We need a blast of God's Spirit across the nation of America. We need a blast. We need Him to breathe out, to just push forth this great revival, this great reviving, this great restoration, this great renewal, this great revitalization of our depth of belief and our hope. Realizing that you are ready to give birth to a miracle or a promise. You are ready to do that. I'm not speaking today to people that don't understand what I'm saying, but you're weary from the battle. You feel that birthing, but there's no strength to birth it out. It's almost as though you say, I do not know how to do this birthing right now. I don't know if I'm supposed to get into some sort of a spiritual birthing position or if I'm just supposed to walk in faith and do this. It's there, but the enemy has pressed so hard against you. The enemy has pushed so deeply against you. And you come to the place of being asked, are you tired? Are you weary from the labors of ministry? Exhausted from life's interactions? Have you become apathetic and impatient as you wait on the Lord to answer your delicate prayers and requests? And I mean the word delicate, underline that. Delicate. They mean so much to you. You cherish these promises so deeply. You cherish your anointing so much. You cherish the destiny that God has given you. You know that in your heart, but yet there's no strength. There's no strength. And how often do we sit day by day and ponder when the Lord seated you with a promise? When he came and put into the womb of your heart a promise that you know that only the Lord your God could put it there. And when he put it there, you were so excited, such as Mary was when she realized that God had spoken to her and the Holy Spirit had hovered over her and implanted the seed of God in her womb. God's seed has been planted in your heart. The Holy Spirit has spoken into you and planted something so beautiful into your life. And you're ready. You're ready to give birth to this surety of ministry and kingdom design. You're ready to do this. He has delivered it into you. But you are weary, worn out, and have no more strength to push one more step closer because the enemy has pressed against the church. The enemy has pressed against individuals. The deception of things that are said to you and the deception of the reasons why have worn on you and worn on you and worn on you. But I want to say this to you. Listen to me today more than if you've ever heard me before. Listen to me. God has a plan for your life. God is ready and is about to blow a blast of the Holy Spirit into your life. Don't just accept it as, oh, okay, that sounds good. I want you to come upon that and embrace it and let the crusting come off that promise and the crusting come off that seed that you feel impregnated again with what God had once spoke to you, and you're ready to push no matter what it is. Like the Bible says, to press ahead, to press forward unto the calling of Jesus Christ, to press, to don't let anything hold you back. Birth that promise, birth that ministry. Don't give up. His promises are real and they are dynamic. There's nothing like the promise of God. Nothing like his promise. They are so powerful and so beautiful and so alive that you can't allow to have anybody intimidate you or to speak negatively of you. Stop that negative listening. Stop the believing what negativity people want to say. Listen to what God has to say. Man has not impregnated you with a promise. Man has not given you a destiny.
A group of people have not surrounded you and said, this is what I believe you're to do. God spoke to you somewhere, someplace, in a prayer hour, a moment of great reception of God's voice into your life, in a quiet time, in a park, walking along a stream, walking along the ocean, or taking a hike up in the mountains, or driving down your car to a location towards prayer. Whatever it may be, God spoke and seated you with a promise that you know that no one can deny. That is your baby. That belongs to you and no one else. God has given to you his commitment in your life to be there with you, and he has highly, now listen to me, highly favored you. He has called you his own. He has entrusted you with the seed of his favor, the seed of his promise. He has entrusted you with the destiny that only he could design, only he could declare, and only he can bring about by the dynamics of his word and by his Holy Spirit. He has come into your life, and nothing, you have to understand. I want you to go on this side now. You've been seated with this promise. You know it. I'm not speaking to people who don't understand what I'm saying today. I'm speaking to people that should be highly encouraged and know that God is sending a message to you. Birthing is really near for you. Birthing is alive in your spirit. Birthing is who God wants you to become. A birther of promises that God can use to touch hundreds of lives. Amen. Someone preach with me today. I'm not going to preach to a quiet room today. I'm trying to tell you that God wants you to be blessed and to know that his word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It separates the joints and the marrow. It separates the spirit and the soul. And it knows the very thoughts and the intents of your heart. God is God, and there is no one before him, and he's the one that came and seated you with that promise. But you're weary. But I want to remind you now of this. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. You may be weary, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Say, God, give me a push. Amen. I'm weary, I'm tired, the negativity has worn me down. I'm not strong enough to birth it anymore. Give me a push, oh Father God of my great creation, the Savior of my life, the Holy Spirit of the living God who indwelleth within me in the power. There is power in God's word. Let him push. Abraham was 100 years old when Sarah, who was 90, gave birth. 100. They laughed at God when he told them. When he seated them with the thought, they laughed. Then they denied it. Oh, no, I didn't laugh. Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. From the servant's womb, the handmaiden's womb. But when he was 100, this was the promise that God gave him. God told him that this one born is not the promise that I have given you. Sometimes we birth early. Someone better shout, I'm feeling this message today. Sometimes we birth early and we don't birth the promise that God has given us. We birth what everybody else says we should do. When that promise came, that was God's promise. That was Isaac. And out of his loins was going to come many more children. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, who was 20. And the enemy tried to stop them. But then she finally gave birth to Esau and Jacob. the warring brothers. You could be a Jacob and follow God and hear from God in a dream. Or you can be an Esau who sells his birthright for a taste of the world, for a taste of food, for a taste of something that is carnal, a taste of something that is temporal. Or you can praise a living God who will show you that there's a ladder to glory. There's a way to heaven. There is a God who will answer your prayers, who will bring healing to relationships, who will cause you to bring forth more children and more children and more children. Praise His mighty name.
Amen.
Abraham was willing, desperately burdened but willing, to take Isaac to an altar. But God, who is rich in mercy, stopped him. Stopped him, and there was a ram in a thicket. You know, sometimes you ought to look whether there's a ram at the thicket. You know, a ram is never up that high in the mountains in Mount Moriah. Never did they go that high. But God had a ram there. He wasn't supposed to be there. He's not normally supposed to be that high. But God will do abnormal things to bring a record into your mind of just who God is and how He will protect your promise. He will bring you to a place. And David, when everybody else was afraid, he knew he had a promise. He was anointed of God. Samuel had poured oil over him. Do you remember the day when God poured oil over you? Hallelujah to the Lamb. And you received an anointing from God. You received a promise from God. You received a calling from God. You received a spiritual destiny from God. You received that which could only come from God. You see, God said, no, 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 no. You're the one. And David finally comes to his brothers, and they're out there in a battle, and everybody else is afraid. Everybody else is afraid. In 1 Samuel 17, he comes there, and they're all afraid and hiding. And he says, I'll go out there. I'll go out. Saul says, here, take my armor. You see, sometimes we want to wear the world to go out to battle for God. And David tried it on. Well, bless him for doing that. He tried it on. He put it on and he walked around. He said, you know what, Saul? No disrespect towards you. You're the king. But this armor just does not feel right with me. It doesn't fit right. Something's wrong with it. And I'm about to go out there and face what no one else is going to face. So I need to be comfortable. What I'm saying to you today, church, is shred off that world's armor and get comfortable in who you are in God. So when you go out there to fight these Goliaths, you know you are going to win.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
You see, David didn't even recognize him as a giant, like everybody else said. He just called him an uncircumcised Philistine. David was called a dog, and he said, well, you're an uncircumcised Philistine. He didn't recognize him as something that can't be defeated. He knew that he was going to defeat him. In 2 Samuel 17, 45 through 46, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have reviled. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I want you to say to whatever's troubling you today, this is the day you're getting cut down. This is the day I'm cutting off the serpent's head. This is the day I'm stopping you from doing anything towards me. I am rising up in the armor of what God has given me, the armor of God. My waist is girt with truth. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I've shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I've picked up the shield of faith, which will quench every fiery dart of the enemy. I pick up the helmet of salvation along with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And out of my mouth this day shall come forth thy word. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We have to understand, shred off what people think you should wear. Shred off what ideas people give you. Shred off all that which covers up you that doesn't show the real you. And walk out in who you are in God. For that is the real you.
Amen.
to say this is it. And when it's ever in front of you, just let them know you're coming to take them down. Because you're going to take God's word and nothing's going to stop you. You see, we move on through the Bible. Others, they're weary. But yet they never gave up. You know, God wasn't through with Daniel. They were tired of Daniel. So you know what folks do today? When they get tired of you, they throw you in the lion's den. What is the lion's den today? They're the gossipers. There's the sowers of rudeness, negativity, unrighteousness, those who cause schisms by their talk. They're the lions, and they're coming after you. And they're roaring like crazy. But you know what Daniel did? He just knew who he was. And none of that was going to bother them. None of that was going to stop him from receiving what God has promised him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even though they had spiritual names, they got demonic names. Even though they had all this stuff changed, their whole life changed, the enemy gave them another name. Don't let people give you another name. You know what name you have. You have the name of the Holy One of Israel. You are a servant of God. You are the sister and brother of Jesus Christ. You have a Savior that saved you, who created you, who designed you, who died for you. All things were created by Him, in Him, and through Him. Let me tell you, He rose on the third day alive forevermore, and that is who you serve. That is who you bow to. That is who you declare. Amen. Doesn't matter what name people give you. People always want to call people names. You know the old Sunday school rhyme, or the old rhyme, kindergarten rhyme, whatever you want to call it. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Let me tell you, don't let names hurt you. Don't let gossip hurt you. Don't let negative talk hurt you. Don't let those that sow seeds of discord, that cause schisms, don't let that hurt you. Because God's saying to you, you're my child. You're my warrior. You're my anointed. You're the one that believed me. You're the one who trusted in me. You're the one who called upon my name. And I'm the God who answered. I'm the one who cleansed you of all your sins. I'm the one who renewed your mind. I'm the one who regenerated your soul. I'm the one who washes you with my word. I'm the one that causes you to walk in the paths of righteousness for my name's sake. I am the God who knows you. And I am the God who sees your tomorrow. I'm the God who knows your yesterdays, and I'm the God of your present right now. Praise me and worship me, and know that I am the King of kings and the Lord of glory. Yes. Jesus on the cross, he was tired. He was weary. He was on his way. He was on his way up the Via Dolorosa. Everybody was crucify him. People were in sorrow, but yet people were in joy. People were confused. People just didn't know what was going on. They saw something they couldn't believe, and so they retracted into the most popular crowds that they could find. Watch out for those people. But Jesus was walking up the Via Dolorosa. He was weary and he fell. And the third time that he fell, he could not get up. He was too tired, and that's how come God sent someone by. My friend, if you're weary today, God has sent me by to be a Simon the Cyrene to you right now, to be able to help you to carry that further, to help you to understand that even though you may not get back up, God brought someone by Jesus to get him to that cross, because that's how important the cross is. God has sent me by to tell you, because that's how important your calling is, your promise is, your destiny is, that he wants you to know that even though you may be weary, I'll pick you up. I'll help you. I'll carry you. I'll take you across that finish line if I have to. Let me tell you something. Don't give up. I'm birthing. Don't get too worried to birth. Oh my God, he's going to push for you. He's going to bring that forward. He's going to bring it through the gate, and you're going to praise him for it. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 1 and 28 says something that I just love. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. Don't be intimidated by your enemies. That's what they want to do. You know, the devil can take a small piece of sand and make it like a mountain or a huge boulder that's going to crush you. Your perspective on how you see the devil is your victory over him. The blood has already been there. The blood has already conquered Satan. The blood has already conquered death. When you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil of our life, the Satan of our life, the one who created and all the pain and sin on this earth has to back off. But when you look at him and you are afraid of him, your perspective is wrong. He may be like a roaring lion walking around in whom he may devour, but I'm going to tell you, he's a toothless lion. He doesn't have a bite left. All he's got is a roar. You have to understand that what you have in God is greater.
Amen.
The intimidator does not have what you have. God is stronger over those negative circumstances because he is greater than those negative circumstances. God is stronger than that interpreter. Greater is you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have God within you. You have the Lord moving within your spirit. You have the Lord reminding you in prayer just who and what and whom you belong to. He doesn't have the power. Steadfastness is a compelling witness to God's testimony to your life and trustworthiness. Be steadfast. When the winds blow against you, stand strong. You are rooted and grounded in the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. They may blow you down, but you're going to rise right back up. In the rivers down in Florida, the St. Lucie River, they have these trees there. And those winds come across the St. Lucie and it blows those trees almost down. People say, oh, the trees are down. But when the sun rises that next day, those trees rise up and they stand as tall as they once did because their roots go deep. Amen. We need to have those roots and believe in God. The refusal to be intimidated by external enemies is exactly what the evidence of faith in God will portray in your life. I will not be intimidated. People try to come into your life and intimidate you. Say they're better than you. Say that you'll never get where you're headed. You ought to be dissatisfied for what you got. No. No, no. What God's got for you, you have yet to birth. But it's in you. It's there. You say, well, preacher, I'm too old to birth. No, you're not. Can I remind you of Sarah at 90 years old? She birthed. She gave forth out of her womb Isaac. Isaac gave forth through Rebecca's womb Jacob. Let me tell you something right now. There is a word in you that is alive. It's thriving. It's pushing. It's growing. It's there. You're exploding. You just don't know what to do. Here's what I want to tell you what to do. Let God push it out for you.
Yes.
Be encouraged today. The Bible's very clear in Galatians 6 and 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. See, I believe the church across America has gotten tired of doing what is good. Oh, you have signs and structures here and there. But if the church was really doing good, we'd have revival in this nation. We'd have a move of God in every city, in every town, in every hamlet, in every state, in every county. We'd have revival in Washington, D.C. We'd have revival all across America from the Pacific to the Atlantic, we would have a move of God. But we have gotten tired of doing what is good. All we want now is for God to do something good for us. We need to be doing what is good. And he said, at just the right time, everybody say, it's my time. Come on now, everybody say it again, it's my time. In just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing that if we don't give up, my time. I'm going to birth. King of Assyria, the enemy is not going to tell me that my God has no power. He's not going to tell me the gods of this nation are stronger than the God who created this nation. No way. The God who created America, the God who created every continent on this earth, the God who created every star, the God who created every planet, the God who created every star system, every system of stars, the God who created the universe, in other words. There is no way, every galaxy that is out there, there is no way that they are stronger than the God we have given our heart to. Please, please, I beseech you, hear the voice of your pastor and this preacher. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give God the honor and tell him, it's my time. It's my time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't give up. The word weary means to retreat in battle. When you study out the word weary, to retreat in battle, to give up the fight, to flag one's efforts. In other words, I'm retreating. You see, I think the church has been walking backwards too long. I believe we need to start marching forward again. I believe we just need to walk forward and march forward, knowing that what God has for us, it'll be there and it'll be powerful. And we don't need to give up the fight. You know, the battle belongs to the Lord. Unless you haven't read that in the Bible, it's there. The battle belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Stand ye still and see that the battle belongs to the Lord. If you're going to go into battle, he said, raise up your arms and praise me, and I will declare the battle won before you get there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's your time. It's time for the church in America to birth her promises. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, who are you to say this? I'm just a humble preacher that says to you right now, I've been talking to God, and God gave me a message to say and to speak with boldness and with power and anointing. You see, there is power in the Word of God. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And there is power in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You need to realize that you have power. And the enemy is defeated already. Amen. Don't get slack. Don't hold back. Don't even stop before the field is plowed and planted. Don't stop till it's undone. And then, as God waters, that increase comes. As you begin to water, the increase comes. As others begin to water and plant, the increase comes. Because God is speaking to the seed that's below the ground that no one else can see. And he is saying, grow. He is saying, get rooted. He's saying, get deeper. He's saying, hear my word. Grow. He's fertilizing that seed. And you feel it in your own life. If you don't feel it, I hope today that the words that this preacher is speaking is saying to you, I'm starting to feel something in your heart. I'm starting to feel something in my heart. It's beginning to root. It's beginning to grow. It's beginning to move. I can feel it right now in myself. Oh, if we could just get a sonogram of God's promise, would we show it off? Would we show it off? There's my baby right there, over there. No gender attached. It's just
my baby. It's a promise, and that promise is going to tear it up. It's going to bring souls into the kingdom. It's going to cause revival. It's going to wake up a city that's asleep and in darkness. My promise is God's word that this will come about. Amen.
Amen.
People wonder why I preach so hard and so strong. Is because I believe that America has silenced her pulpits to the word, become great storytellers, and become great, almost whispering speakers. But let me tell you something. It's not the volume. It's not the style. It's the word of God that changes the hearts of the believer. Preach the word. Preach the word. Tell your children the word of God. Philippians 1 and 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished. You see, what he's put in you, he's working in you. He's performing in you. He's completing it, and he's not going to stop till it's finished. So don't sit down on him. He's still working. Don't push it aside. Don't say, God, wait a minute. I'm just not ready for this. God wouldn't have put it there if you wouldn't have been ready. Can I say that again? God wouldn't have put that there if you would not have been ready. Let me tell you that you have to rise up to the occasion. You have to find a position of birth. You have to be able to pray. And you have to know that God is there. He is rooting you on. He is saying, you believe. You believe. You believe. You've trusted me. You have faith in me. You know who I am. You know that no one else could put this in you. It is me that has put in the heart of the womb of your heart a seed that will declare my word and take down the devil in cities and countries and counties all the way across America into the mission field. You will you be used by me to take down and rise up a harvest of believers. I'm not going to quit to the day of the Lord either. Because as long as you're breathing, God said, I'm going to keep working. Keep working in that seed, that promise. You see, God's beginning the work is a pledge of its completion. God's beginning it is a pledge to his completion. What God begins, he will always finish. You'll never find anything in the Bible that where God gave up. You know, even when, or you say, well, he gave up on Israel. You better study that word. He gave up on Israel, but he never took his eye off of them, and his ear was always open to the slightest cry of repentance, and he came back. Blessed them, carried them, even when it got down to just being Ruth and Boaz, the seed of his promise was still alive. It got down to the last seed of the generational chronicle way that Jesus was going to come. It got down to the last seed. There was no one else in the last womb that had made this happen. And God brought it together. When Ruth should have went to the other nations who were gods, she said to Naomi, I will go with you, and your God will be my God.
Amen.
Jesus came through that statement. That was a revelation to Naomi, who was in total darkness. She's lost everything. But she allowed Ruth to come, and she gave her the plan to go out and lie in the fields. Told her to draw close to Boaz. God will lead someone by you. God will bring you to a person. God will allow you to have a person to partner with and to love and to care. God does not give up.
God's got a plan. God's plan is he is going to blast through you a winds of his Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? He's going to blast through you the winds of his Holy Spirit. Are you prophesying? Yes, I am. God is going to blast through you the winds of his Holy Spirit. He's going to blast it across America. He is not through with this nation. Seeds are waking up. Seeds are rooting. Seeds are growing. And birthing is about to happen. Amen.
Amen.
Let me close. I feel such an anointing today. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Know that whatever's going on, God is greater than the forces that come up against you. Greater, that they have no binding chance to stand. In the past, there was God's unchangeable purpose. In the present, there is God's unlimited power. And in the future, there is God's unbreakable promise. He is the author and finisher of our faith and promises. God has got your back. He's got your present. He's got your future. You're never to stop. Amen.
Amen.
You're always to pray. You're always to know that God has a plan. And God's plan is a blast of the Holy Spirit into your heart, breaking off everything that has held you back, knocking everything down that has kept the shackles and the empowerment over what you know is there, but you're not able to reach because of your weariness. And you're going to rise up fresh, as though you just drank water out of the brook where the deer had run to, leap to get to. And he had found refreshment in that. And that refreshment to you is God's word in this message. And God's word when you pray. And God's word when you begin to read it. And God's word leading you. And you are refreshed, praise God. You are refreshed and anew and ready. Amen. And by the way, they never believed what the king of Assyria's spokesman said. God brings deliverance. God brings deliverance. God brings hope. God brings help. God brings restoration. God brings his love into your life. You are never alone with God. You are never not loved with God. You are never discouraged with God. You are always lifted up high in the presence of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name.